From high atop the ice surface at Bell MTS Place, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in the press box by analyst Ezra Ginsberg. The Winnipeg Jets 4-1 victors tonight over the Minnesota Wild take a commanding 2-0 lead over those Wild in this first round Central Division playoff matchup. Ezzy, it was a 1-0 game for the Winnipeg Jets after 40 minutes, but that was a score that flattered the Wild, and the Winnipeg Jets with one of the most dominant performances you're going to see during a playoff game, and the 4-1 score reflected that. It was a 4-0 game until the Wild scored with 45 seconds to go, but this was about as dominant as you're going to get in an NHL game.
And as meaningless a goal as you're ever going to score there late in the third period. And I think this game can be summed up, Drew, by just saying the Wild don't get a shot in the third period until the 15-minute mark. And the Jets were just all over the Wild in every zone of the ice. And Devan Dubnyk is the only reason this game is close there early in the third period. As you mentioned, Tyler Myers scores in the second, an absolutely beautiful goal. We'll go over the goal in a second, but the Jets were just hungrier for pucks all night, winning all of the battles. I thought that they set the tone physically early in this game. We know Dustin Byfuglien had the big hit on Mikko Koivu, but I thought, you know, Ben Chiarot was laying the body, Adam Lowry, just all over the ice, and the Wild just didn't seem to have a response. They came out in that second period flat, and they were flat for the rest of the game.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, you know, the first period of the game was sort of similar to what happened in Game 1, where it was tight checking, and sure, the Jets did end up outshooting the Wild in that first period, but I thought the Wild would have been happy with their performance in that period. I thought they were even maybe the better of the two teams in the first period, but something happened in that intermission, a flip switched of some sort, and the Winnipeg Jets just absolutely dominated the Minnesota Wild. The Wild went 20 minutes of playing time without a shot on goal during this game. As you mentioned, not getting their shot on goal until late in the third period. It was an epic performance by the Winnipeg Jets in front of a rowdy, doesn't even begin to describe it, atmosphere here at Bell MTS Place.
And Drew, we know the Wild do an excellent job at suppressing shots. I mean, they're a good defensive team, and you can only hold back a Jets offense for so long, and it felt like, you know, the Wild were just waiting for that counterattack. But the problem was there was no attack. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really thought, again, you know, Carson Soucy, Nate Wheeler, I mean, these are rookie defensemen. Yeah. And, you know, we know that Ryan Suter's not going to be back for the series. He's not going to be back for the playoffs. I mean, the way it looks now, the Wild aren't going any further than the first round. But, I mean, I think you could really see the inexperience of the Wild. And once again tonight, for me, I mean, Mark Scheifele's line completely outplayed the Minnesota top line of Eric Staal, Jason Zucker, and Nino Niederreiter. And that's why you saw Jordan Greenway go up to the top line in place of Jason Zucker. Zucker goes down to the third line. And again, we talked about it during the game. I mean, Jordan Greenway, this is only his second career NHL game, and he was one of the best Wild forwards. And you just can't have that when you have a veteran team like the Wild. So, you know, a lot of Wild forwards were just invisible tonight.
You're absolutely right. Let's get into the goal scoring tonight. The Jets opened the scoring at the 8:41 mark of the second period. Tyler Myers gets his first of the playoffs. A beautiful play at the blue line, sort of showing off some of those Calder Trophy winning skills that he has. He walks around Jason Zucker. He uses his reach. He uses his long stick, and he's able to fend off the check of Zucker with good body positioning. Brian Little running a little bit of interference in front of the net. Myers comes down and picks the far side on Devan Dubnyk.
Yeah, what else can you say? I mean, that's a highlight reel goal. I mean, Jason Zucker, I actually thought, was one of the better Wild forwards, but I mean, he just absolutely undresses him, and Jason Zucker also takes a slash at Myers, and, you know, Myers just keeps going, drives the net, and puts a really nice move and shot past Devan Dubnyk. And, you know, Myers, I thought, actually was not great in the first game. I thought he was much better tonight, but
took two penalties tonight as well, though.
Well, yeah, he took the penalty about 30 seconds after he scored that goal in the second period, but he was much better than he was in game one, and just a beautiful goal, and it got the ball rolling because, you know, it was only a matter of time before the Jets were going to score. I mean, prior to that, the Jets had all of the possession, all of the sustained pressure, and you know, just a really nice goal, one of those goals that we're going to be watching on the highlight reels for many, many more weeks and months to come.
Yeah, absolutely right. The second period ended with the Jets leading by that 1-0 margin, but just to demonstrate the how significant the disparity was in the control of the play, you know, Corsi 4 for the Jets in that first period, 81%, pardon me, in that second period, 81% compared to the Minnesota Wild, 19%, which is, I mean, that's as one-sided as you're going to get in an NHL game. The ice certainly tilted against the Minnesota Wild in that second period. Third period starts where, much like the second period left off, with the Jets absolutely in control, absolutely dominating possession, dominating the time on ice. You know, the Wild desperately looking for a shot on goal, couldn't even muster a one shot on goal until much later in the period. The Jets get rewarded when it looked like it might just end up being a 1-0 game. Paul Stastny gets his first of the year. Dustin Byfuglien with the assist and Laine with the secondary assist. Byfuglien from behind the Wild net with a beautiful backhand saucer pass to Paul Stastny, who wires it past Devin Dubnyk. Dustin Byfuglien, this wasn't just good Buff tonight. This was great Buff. This was terrific Buff. This was tremendous Buff tonight for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, it was probably one of the best games that he's maybe played as a member of the Jets, yeah. Really. I mean, Buff has been one of the most consistent players for the Jets over the last 7 years, but this was a different type of performance. I mean, we know how dominant he is physically, but on that goal, Drew, I mean, just great work by Buff. And, you know, he puts it right in front where Paul Stastny is fighting off the Wild defenseman. And, you know, Paul Stastny, I thought, was great again tonight. I mean, the chemistry that Stastny, Ehlers, and Laine have together, and they've only been playing together for, what, a month and a half? And, yeah, you know, they were really good tonight, I thought, matched up against the Mikko Koivu line. And, you know, Stastny, I think, you know, he's so valuable in the faceoff circle and the way he plays defensively. I mean, he gets the goal that puts the Jets up 2-0, but I thought that all night tonight he was just making those simple plays, making sure that they were transitioning really well. But, you know, Buff, I thought he was the best player on the ice for the Jets tonight.
I see. He was awarded with the first star tonight, and there's no question about it. He was the most impactful player. I mean, he hit Mikko Koivu so hard that the joke that we made on Twitter is that Mikko now thinks he was Saku, but, you know, his brother, Saku Koivu. But, I mean, Dustin Byfuglien,
he didn't hit him. He crushed him.
Yeah, exactly. A hit, you know, is an understatement for what Dustin Byfuglien delivered onto Mikko Koivu.
And Koivu didn't see it coming.
No.
And it was a clean hit, so.
Textbook.
I mean, Buff had, you know, three or four at least really good hits tonight, but, you know, he was also making his impact felt on the score sheet, especially with that really nice sauce to Paul Stastny in front of the net.
Absolutely. That made it 2-0 for the Jets. A little less than 2 minutes later, Andrew Kopp gets his first of the playoffs, assist to Brian Little and Jack Roslovic. A bit of a line juggle from Paul Maurice during the game, unexpectedly, not even during the game, really, to start the game. He put Andrew Kopp up on that line with Brian Little and Jack Roslovic, and moved Joel Armia onto the line with Brandon Tanev and Adam Lowry. That move paid off, certainly, as Andrew Kopp gets this goal. You know, just outside the blue paint, he gets his stick on the puck, deflects it, deflects the Brian Little shot slash pass. It was sort of hard to tell what Little's intentions were here. In any event, Kopp gets it past Dubnyk, and it's 3-0 Jets, and really the game's over at that point.
Yeah, a neat little play by Andrew Kopp, a nice deflection. I mean, that was the goal that I think really sunk the Wild. I mean, let's be honest, the game was over before he scored that goal, but I mean, that was the goal that really, I think, sealed the fate of the Minnesota Wild. And, you know, Jack Roslovic, you know, we're going to talk about it a lot on tomorrow's show, but you know, he picks up 2 assists, but he was really effective. I actually didn't think that line was that great the first 2 periods, and you know, they really brought it on in the third period, but I didn't think they were generating a lot 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. During the first couple of periods, but I mean, you had the Scheifele line going, you had the Stastny line going. So on a night like tonight,
and the Lowry Kopp and, I mean, Lowry, right, Kopp and Armia, we saw them play a little bit together during the regular season, you know, but they were in and out of the lineup with injuries all year. But when they were put together tonight, they were almost as dominant as Lowry, Tanev, and Armia. They were almost as dominant as Lowry, Tanev, and Kopp were in game one.
Right, and you got to think that there's a good chance that Armia stays on that fourth line. I mean, we'll see if Matthew Perreault is ready to go for game three. I mean, right now he's listed as doubtful. Mm-hmm. So for now, Roslovic's going to stay on that top line. And I think actually Brian Little and Jack Roslovic have meshed really well together here in a short period of time. But, you know, again, you know, just really nice to see Andrew Kopp, you know, get a goal here. And we saw him almost get a hat trick the last game of the season against the Hawks. And he just continues to be an underrated player, in my opinion.
Yeah, straight line speed. And he's got that in waves, and it's certainly effective for the Winnipeg Jets. They get the fourth goal of the game to make it 4-0 with 2:02 to play in the third period. It's Patrick Laine. He gets his second from Ehlers and Myers. The party was certainly on already at Bell MTS Place when that goal went in. And that was it was a good shot by Laine, but it's a goal that probably Dubnyk wants back. But at that point in time, the game was really over. And Dubnyk looked a little shell-shocked letting in that goal. I mean, he's faced so many pucks over the last two games. I mean, the Jets again tonight with 44 shots, and they had 40 shots in the first game. So, you know, you have 84 shots at Devan Dubnyk in two games. It's no wonder that he's maybe feeling a little bit, a little tired or a little shell-shocked.
Yeah, that was probably the weakest goal that Devan Dubnyk let in tonight. And, you know, give Nikolai Ehlers a lot of credit. That goal is the result of his speed. And we saw that on display tonight. We've seen that on display, you know, the last few years here at Bell MTS Place, formerly MTS Center, of course. But, I mean, Patrick Laine, I mean, we know that he can score basically from anywhere on the ice. Yeah. I mean, this is near the top of the faceoff circle. So I agree with you, Drew. I mean, Devan Dubnyk probably should have had that one back. But I think at that point he was rattled.
Yeah.
He was tired. And we know that Laine can, you know, put the puck in the back of the net from many different places in the offensive zone. So, I mean, again, that was kind of just icing on the cake there.
Yeah, absolutely. The Wild get a little bit of window dressing to ruin the shutout for Connor Hellebuyck with 45 seconds to go. It's a power play goal for Zach Parise, his second of the game. Didn't matter at that point. Then there were some fisticuffs in the last 10 seconds of the game. You had a couple different fights as the Wild are trying to set a tone for game three, looking to bounce back after this performance. And the Jets certainly weren't about to shy away from the physicality towards the end of the game. You know, Dustin Byfuglien wanted a piece of Daniel Winnick. Brandon Tanev took on Daniel Winnick, and Ben Sherratt also came in and had a pretty good fight against Nate Seeler with 7 seconds to go in the game.
Yeah, and you don't really want to see Tanev fighting Daniel Winnick.
It's
That's a mismatch, as you just said, Drew. So, for me, that's just bottled up emotions. I mean, that's just the Wild frustrated with the fact that, you know, they've lost the last two games, and they're kind of just, I think, saying to the Jets, okay, we're going back to St. Paul now. You're coming into our arena, and we're going to let out a little bit of aggression. I mean, it has absolutely nothing to do with the game at that point. It's just, you know, that stuff happens in hockey all the time. And
you knew it was going to happen tonight. I mean, the Wild had been dominated so significantly. You knew that they were going to try and get a piece of the Jets to at least show some fight, even if they haven't shown any really through the first 59 minutes of the game.
That's exactly what it is. And Sherratt and Seeler, that was a heavyweight bout as well.
Sherratt coming in to prevent Joel Armia from having to take him on, because Seeler was going after Armia to start, and Sherratt made a beeline to defend the Jets winger.
Yeah, I don't know why you're going after Armia. He's not exactly a physical player, but physical in the sense of fighting. He's obviously a guy that can play the physical game, Drew. But, you know, for me, I mean, Bruce Boudreau touched on this. These teams do not like each other.
Sure.
We have a rivalry here, and we've seen the rivalry during the regular season. This is different. I mean, these two teams are trying to get to the second round. So, I mean, we saw that, I think, boil over late in the game there.
Yeah, the Wild are a team of veterans, and these veterans are certainly prideful veterans, and they feel as though they were embarrassed tonight because, well, frankly, they were with their performance. And, you know, mustering only 17 shots on goal for the Wild, where, I mean, truly, none of those shots, the three shots that they got in the third period all came while the game was out of hand at that point. They couldn't get a shot on goal until the 14-minute mark, 15-minute mark of the third period. I mean, that's to go 15 minutes when you're only down a goal entering the period without a shot on goal tells you just how dominant the Jets were in this third period.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. If the Wild play like they did in the second and third periods, in St. Paul, this series will be over in four. It'll be a sweep.
Yeah.
The Wild were absolutely embarrassed here, like you said, and just completely controlled for those last 40 minutes.
Right. The old adage, of course, is, though, that the series doesn't begin until a team loses on home ice. So the Minnesota Wild, feel that they're going to go back to their barn in St. Paul, and maybe they'll have an edge on the Winnipeg Jets with their rowdy faithful trying to match what we saw here in Winnipeg. It'd be hard for them to do that. It was an epic atmosphere. You thought it was an epic atmosphere on Wednesday, and they certainly matched it, if not bettered it tonight in this contest in front of the 16,000 crazed white-wearing maniacs that you saw here tonight.
This is the best atmosphere I've ever seen. And we were at these games in 2015 against the Ducks.
Different atmosphere.
Tonight, and Wednesday's crowd was great too, but tonight, for me at least, this is just me speaking personally, I think this is the rowdiest crowd we've ever seen, and the party's still going on outside.
I would agree with you. I thought it was rowdier tonight than Wednesday and rowdier than 2015 as well. Just... Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. That's it for the post-game podcast. A quick look at some of the numbers in tonight's game. The only Jets player without a shot on goal was Brian Little. Patrick Laine led all Jets players with 6 shots on goal. Again, Paul Maurice able to run the 4 lines, able to run his three pairs of defensemen so that nobody played an excessive amount of minutes. Dustin Byfuglien led all Jets in time on ice with 23 minutes and 51 seconds. Roslovic brought up the rear at 10 minutes and 14 seconds, but he's able to roll 4 lines. He's able to roll 3 pairs of defensemen, which certainly will keep the Jets fresh, for later games in the series. Or later rounds in these Stanley Cup playoffs. Tomorrow morning, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 9 a.m. on TSN 1290. We'll go even more in depth on tonight's Jets victory, on the entire series, of course, as well. Look at the entire playoffs. It's going to be a great show. Be sure to tune in 9 a.m. tomorrow on TSN 1290. Plenty of audio from both the Jets dressing room and the Minnesota Wild dressing room, also available on IllegalCurve.com. For my colleagues Dave Manuk and analyst Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host Drew Mindell. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.